Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I am the founder of Gear Media Studios, a content creation studio with the focus on podcasting.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with celebrities and entrepreneurs about their business journeys.
And I'm really excited to hear from Anya Chang next about Taylor Style. It's Taylor.style. This is like a really cool innovation in the fashion industry using AI and science. And so welcome, Anya. Tell us all about it.
We use AI to pick clothes for busy men. So definitely not Richard's too fashionable, but...
Look, I've got clothes that are 10 years old. They look great. And get me a subscription service that sends me a new pair of pants every decade. I'll be happy.
No, his suits are fine, but his weekend clothes could use a little help.
People tend to ask us, who are your biggest competitor? We say usually they are wives. So that's where they previously used wife to pick the clothes. I got the idea when I was working for Meta. I helped build Facebook, Instagram shopping, and I was a head of product for eBay before. So when I was working in those big tech companies as a woman with color, I felt a little bit imposter syndrome. I want to look great. But I realized most of fashion company, either you have to pick thousands of garments and you browsing through and you pick your own thing, or you have to own, which you just e-commerce, you have to buy. And that means laundry, ironing, dry cleaning, and then tidying up every year. It's just a lot of work. So it was an aha moment for me to realize most of fashion company are designed for people who are into fashion. Not for busy men or like me who are not into fashion but socially active. Getting a job, getting a day, close a deal. I don't care what I wear, but I care that I look presentable in the show. I look amazing in these deals, conversation. I look great when I teachings and all other stuff. So Taylor was born. With AI, we changed, like traditionally only Hollywood celebrity can have their stylist to pick clothes. Now everybody has AI as their personal stylist, and we ask their high-end way, but we don't use it a lot because most of guys think they are taller and thinner. So they put the fact formations in, I'm definitely size small. No, go to your closet. Oh my, my favorite shirt is extra large.
Yeah, I've had that experience. This medium shirt doesn't fit anymore. It's only 15 years old.
Well, being shrink for sure is not because I gave...
That's right. Blame it on the washer.
They don't have to buy these clothes, right?
Yeah, they don't have... In our model, they don't have to. It's rental, just like you get a Uber, someone get on the car. You get a library and you pick a book and you read it. You go back to a library, your Netflix show. You don't own this DVD. In our model, it's like rent a runway you don't have to buy. But better than a rent a runway for a woman because then you don't have to pick. Our AI will pick for you. We specifically ask our customers goal, which is what they care most. They want to have this outfit that close a deal or this single guy that showcase their whatever body parts or best personalities. So we focus on the goal. And then you talk about the data points. We actually purchased two companies. They have 10 years of styling data. We get their permission. We buy those data. They were human pick before when they style customer and we fit into our AI. So then our module has unique data, but sitting on top of larger language model like OpenAI. So as they grow, we grow, but we always one step ahead.
So if somebody returns clothes, I saw from the website, you have the option to buy the clothing if you really like it, but they return it. What happens after it's returned?
Just like airport rental car. You return, we wash them in 3 hours, ship to other people, like your dry cleaning business. But every time you pick is a different outfit. And the clothes are still very new, just like those airport rental car. Before it's too old, it gets sold. On average, renting 3 times, the item already sold to the customer. And when people buy, it's a secondhand, so good for the environment. But you don't have to spend an entire afternoon to go to a thrift store.
I assume they're inspected. So if I were to like spill a chocolate shake on my shirt or something, that would ever happen, then you would pick it out, and if you couldn't clean it, you wouldn't send it out, right?
Obviously. Yeah, we are almost like professional dry clean business, right? So anything that dry clean can clean, we no problem. But if it's really you cut off one short because you went to Vegas and you were too drunk, then of course we charge you, given that we are a subscription, so we have customers' credit card. Say around $100 per month, customer can wear like 10 clothes per month, and then they return again next shipment, so they don't have to do any shopping or laundry.
And what kind of brands do you have?
Yeah, we work with over 150 brands, all of name brands, you name it, Marine Layer, Johnson & Murphy, Bonobos, that all major brands that you're aware of. But we also source globally the best brand. They are not yet available in the U.S. So brands in Italy, it might be number one over there, but they haven't entered the U.S. market. Now they get, instead of burning those unsold inventories or the latest collection, they want to test for new market, we get those inventory and then enter the market. So then we have to solve the problem that 30% of clothes go directly from factory to landfill, generating 10% of carbon emission for the world. But at the same time, they also send us the latest collection that's not yet in the market because they want to know customer feedback. So our customer get both of those inventory. They are high quality, but may not be available in the U.S.
That sounds really cool to me.
Yeah, that sounds great. We're with Anya Cheng from Taylor, spelled T-A-E-L-O-R. A new way to use and experience clothing. So where did you come up with the idea for this?
I was working for this big tech company and realized that I need this type of thing. We start testing of different customers. And so when we launched just a landing page for just see if people join the wait list, you mentioned about how the challenge is start a company. Like, what do you get? How do you get your first customers? So we launched this landing page, and then there was one day, a guy emailed me, said, hey, can you bump me back to the waitlist? I have been on there for 1 month. I thought he's a scam. I ignore him. Who really want this nobody website that really want the service? And then a month after that, he called me. Hi. Somehow he added me on LinkedIn, and I accepted, and he found my phone number. He said, I'm a real estate agent in San Diego. I really like the brochure on your website. I've been waiting for 2 months. You must be really popular. No, we had nothing. We just haven't launched yet. You must be really popular. Can you please bump me out to the waitlist? I want the service. We realized he's a real customer. We went to the store. He was doing Christmas promotions. So bought a whole bunch of things from Macy's, went to post office and shipped it to the guy. He became our first customer. And from there, we're testing 100 people like these, and we learn a lot. We know what's needed. We realize we need an AI to pick in clothes. We need to work with fashion brands. We can work with them to revenue share model and provide insight to help them to do better jobs. We realize we will need some others, like the operational stuff. And with the business plan, we start raising, and that's how we raised $2 million 2 years ago.
That's awesome. So could a young man who had just graduated college, say, and was going to start maybe at a marketing company in New York, his first job, is that kind of your ideal client? So he comes to you, he says, hey, I'm starting this new job at a New York marketing company. I have no idea what to wear. Would you be able to help him?
For sure. I think our customers are guys who are socially active. They are either single guys, salespeople, consultant, pastor, recruiter, professors, and lawyer. Not lawyer. We work with actually many law firm and also legal associations. People who are people facing, but they don't have time, or they don't have like strong fashion sense, and they don't want to read GQ and research on it. If you're using analogy of a cleaning company, we are not selling cleaning supply. We are selling the main service. Our customer really treat us more like the gadget guy behind the superhero, like, hey, you are ready to go, or just like executive assistant. So they ask us, okay, I wear these good clothes. Do you sell shoes, accessory, Valentine's Day gift? Where do I do my haircut? So they really see us more of like car service for them.
So Anya, you grew up in Taiwan, is that right? So how did you get from Taiwan to the United States? And how did you start your business career in a new country?
Yeah, I was from Taiwan originally. I went to Northwestern University to get my marketing degree. And I graduated in 2008 when Lehman Brothers went bankruptcy. There was no job anywhere. So I my only job before I came to the U.S. was a reporter. So I was way outside of other departments, like schools departments. And then as soon as they're hiring the recruiters came out, I would deliver my resume, just like the reporter hand over the microphone, like, hey, this is my resume. I'm a student from marketing department, which we don't, I didn't even get the campus recruiting possibility. So this is my resume. And nobody talked to me. And people say, this is too dumb. You shouldn't ambush recruiters. You should like actually networking. So I start knocking on every single department's professor's the door, networking. I kind of know those people. I pay tuitions, right? So I knock on every single door, no matter he or she knows me a lot or not. And one day there was a professor. He said, I don't know you. I cannot get you any job. But tomorrow, I have an amazing talk from Richard, Marissa, and that's it's a panel that you can come and talk to the speaker. So I went, my English was so poor, I couldn't understand anything, but I still said, this is amazing talk, here's my resume. So the CEO is a Farmers Magazine company. She invited me to an interview in her company. I went on the interview, it was a perfect job, a marketing job in a magazine company for someone who had a reporter media background. 2 weeks went by, I called a recruiter. She says, stop calling me. I am laid off. Even the recruiter was laid off from the company. Since you have nothing to do, do you want to come out and grab a coffee? She said, sure, I have nothing to do. We had a coffee. She told me a lot about the company, who was their competitors, who was their customers. And she told me one idea. Have you heard of New York? New York is a bigger city than Chicago. Bigger city has more jobs. LA is a bigger city. So these are bigger cities you should give it a try. So I went on a trip for 2 months, sleep on different friends' couches every week. I list 2,000 alumni from the school, and I start approaching, cold-calling those people. And then one day I bought all the news, the newspaper from the newsstand, because they all say, publish your name, so-and-so, Marissa and Richard, and if you want to advertise, call this number. So I start calling each of them, and eventually I actually met with the CEO, New York Times, and VP of CNN, but nobody was hiring. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is a great opportunity, but it's too slow. So I want to go to a conference, which you need ticket and really expensive. So I call a magazine company in Taiwan, say, I want to cover this amazing news in New York. Is it okay for free? They say, okay. I call the conference. Hey, I'm a reporter from Taiwan. Can I get into the press tickets? So then eventually it was still get me with a whole bunch of people, but no one was hiring. I went back to Chicago, was ready to pack and go home back to Taiwan. But I actually learned a lot in those 2 months. So I put together a business plan based on what the layoff the recruiter told me, what your competitors say. And then I built out that this, if you want to do this type of thing the New York Times is doing, it would be great to hire someone who have some marketing background and probably not very senior, so you don't need to pay a lot. And I happen to know someone. Her name is Anya Chen. And would you like to hire that? And she asked me, my English was really bad. She asked me, do you want to be a contractor? I said, yes, I didn't know what contractor means. Went home and I Googled contractor. I didn't know why she wanted me to be a plumber. But then I got my first job in the U.S.
That is an amazing story. And I really admire your drive and determination. And, you know, it's tough to find a job, especially when you're just starting out. You don't have a lot of experience during a difficult economy, but you did it. And then after that job, it seems like you've worked with some pretty prestigious companies, Meta and Target, McDonald's, right? All of those in marketing positions?
Yeah, I started in marketing. It's actually data scientist and marketing. And then Sears come to me and say, hey, this is for media company. You guys know how to do media buying. How about you do media selling? How about you do some media buying? And then when I was doing that, I realized the best media will be using data, just like Jeffrey, like really how to predict rising hopes is probably data. So then I get into the data scientist space. And then get into Target. Target say, hey, you are doing these things. Would you like to be helping us here? But you have to come to Minnesota. So my dream at the time was work in Silicon Valley because as a leader in the tech teams, seems a perfect match. But the Minnesota opportunity, I still say yes. So I told them that, hey, if you one day have opportunity, I really want to move to San Francisco. A week before I was on board, they called me. They say, hey, You mentioned about this before, and your boss position was an opening, and now we found a guy. He actually lives in San Francisco. He doesn't want to move to Minnesota, so you can work for him in San Francisco. So sometimes opportunities there when you a little bit open to when opportunity is not perfect. Yeah. And my mom said, Target is great, but I never heard of it back in Taiwan. So I joined my global business. And by learning, using something that I know of technology, but learning something new, which is a global thing. So, yeah.
Caroline, do you have any questions for Anya?
Anya, I want to say your hero journey or heroine's journey is amazing, and the hustle, absolutely outstanding. And if everybody had an ounce of that hustle to get what they needed to do, it'd be absolutely amazing. I think my question is, you blend tech and a consumer or a customer need really, really nicely. What was your aha?
Yeah, I think when we started, we thought we are selling clothes, but quickly we realized we are not. We are selling a dream. A chance to succeed. Our customers don't care what they wear, red or blue, as long as they get a girlfriend or boyfriend, right? So it's actually a selling a chance to succeed. That's what the customer really buying. It's about the convenience. Or when we started, we thought for international, for fashion brand, the best thing will be monetizing the unsold inventory. They burn out those inventory anyway. But quickly we discovered that's not true. They care even more so about the data, which is the insight. Oh, your pants is 1 inch too short. That's why most of Americans are not buying your pants. Their actionable insight is actually a lot more valuable than monetizing the old inventory, because they help them to be successful for their next collections. So understanding of what real value that we deliver, I think this is how we were able to grow. And now we got investors from like Spotify, TikTok, Hello Kitties, and founder of YouTube.
Yeah, congratulations. I mean, it's approaching the problem from a lot of different angles and solving problems for different people in the whole thing. But this has been fascinating, and I'll be showing Richard that website.
I don't need any fashion help, no.
Yeah, that's Taylor.style. Taylor.style. So Richard.
Yeah, Taylor.style. Yeah, anyway.
Use a code podcast25 to get 25% off. Like podcast25.
podcast25 to get 25% off. That's a deal.
That's right.
So maybe that's one of your birthday presents. You never know. So that was really fun.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, our studio assistant Rissakat Busari, and our social media powerhouse Carolina Tabares. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.